first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Football Podcast. We have a full house today. Jim, you're here.
I am indeed. Hello.
Stu, you're here.
Afternoon.
Mike, you're here.
No, I'm not.
Okay, and Dan's here.
Typical response from Dan.
Yeah.
Good.
Right, what was your favourite goal of the weekend, Dan, since you're in sort of chatty man mode?
Oh, that's out of order, isn't it? My favourite goal of the weekend.
Your favourite goal of the weekend. Which one of the four Arsenal let in was your favourite?
Fourth did a bit.
No comment.
Fault's got me up there.
Tioti, it's a good hit, wasn't it?
No,
I
comment.
Love that. When a ball falls down like that, you just see someone striking it. Like, that is perfect. Yeah. As soon as he hit that, he knows that if that's on target.
Let's not talk about the game.
All right.
Thanks. Was there any goal from any other game that took your eye?
No. I've got a bit of a mental blank because I stayed up a lot this weekend, and so I'm not quite sure what happened. I thought Morella's finish was actually very good because he could have messed it up in a big way.
It was about the worst goal of the whole.
It wasn't the worst goal. It was a really good.
Is that the only game you watched this weekend? Be honest.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I watched the Old Firm.
Okay, that was quite tasty.
That was quite a tasty game. Yeah. How much El Hadj Diouf baiting was going?
Yes.
It was a bit. Yeah.
Scott Brown, when he scored, just got in his face. He got booked for staring.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I can't wait to go back to sell it for the replay.
Yeah,
it's going to be amazing. It wasn't a sending off on the goalkeeper. He was going away.
He was going away from goal, wasn't he?
He wasn't getting anywhere near that ball. That touch was awful.
Why was everyone watching this? Cardiff were playing Swansea this time.
Exactly.
I can't talk about that because it'll make me mad, and I'm not allowed to swear.
I was at a sports cafe watching every game. I was watching West Ham. Wasn't really watching that.
Best
Celtic was on, and Cardiff Swansea was on as well.
It's all right down there, isn't it?
Yeah,
we might have to have a podcast down there soon.
I think we should.
Right, yeah,
we should. Bellamy, talking about the Cardiff game. Bellamy's goal will be up there for one of the goals of the weekend. For
really? I'm seeing that. One of the few games I'm seeing it.
25 yards in off the post to win a derby as well. Walcott's first was a brilliant goal. Just the sheer pace
took
on
it well. He's come on a bundle, hasn't he, this year?
Tioti, Stu's already mentioned, so he can have that one. The Beckford volley. It was a great goal.
I spoke to an Everton fan and did not rate it whatsoever. Just like, yeah, that's because he's got a touch on the 50 defence.
Oh, no.
Because Everton fans were so hard.
It was good.
And James McCarthy. Did you see that goal?
That's the one. That's my best
Absolutely doing a bit. He had about three touches.
A little flick up, knocked it to one side, and a little toe poke, half volley in the court. I thought that was the best goal of the weekend.
Well, his favourite? My favourite was Routledge's.
I haven't finished mine yet, Stu. But best goal. It actually says, said favourite best.
Yeah.
My favourite goal for the weekend was actually Conor Wickham.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, get onto BBC. The highlights is on there. Yeah. Ipswich. He got the ball inside his own half, was he? Or just
in his head,
he's absolutely doing a bit. And he just ran around. Like, Sheffield United are pretty crap at the moment, but still, that was pretty good. Pretty good. So, who else you got, Stu?
Just Routledge, mate.
Just Routledge.
Mike, who have you got?
I surprisingly didn't go for Kevin Doyle, but.
No?
He's
not small, is he?
Oh, no, he's big.
Did you see at that point that Kevin Doyle tried to claim it and then that's my hand. And Doyle went, okay.
You can either give it to me or we'll sort it out later.
You're built like
and I am massive.
In terms of favourite, I had a few. I had Tioti's down and Newcastle, fair play. Louis Saha scoring 4. I love him just because he's such a confidence player. He's rubbish for
good
10 games on a trot, and
is
then he's great for 5.
I think it's just about
is
on the
good
line.
Hair or bad hair?
It flicks between the two.
If he grows it much longer, it won't be good.
Can we get Dan to do the same?
I think we should.
Yeah.
No.
Go on.
No.
I'd say Dan's a bit grumpy today because he stayed up late at the weekend. He went night fishing with. Psycho Sid Vicious and
the ghost of Tony Hart.
Yes.
It was a very creative.
He actually watched the Super Bowl
with Tony Hart.
UFC on Saturday night, Super Bowl Sunday night.
Yeah.
I haven't quite recovered either, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, very quickly, who are just one name each, if we can rip through it, the best and worst signings of the transfer window, Stu? because Stu loves the transfer window.
I'm not a big fan of January transfer windows, you probably guess by my
You don't like any windows, really, because they bring in light to your life. You are a miserable git most of the time.
I'd like to be. Routledge. I know it's horrible.
Is that going to be your answer for every question? You've got two questions, both answers with Routledge.
Podcast 11, Routledge.
Well, who do you think you are, me, talking about the club all the time?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Worst signing?
Routledge. Going to Liverpool for Andy, 35 million.
Andy Carroll.
Andy Carroll, good knowledge there. That Nutter Geordie. I'll go through my quickly. Robbie Keane to West Ham.
It's a decent
absolute man. Decent signing for West Ham, because I think he'll score goals.
Even though he was horrific yesterday.
Yeah, but I still think he will get goals.
Scored?
Yeah. If you buy him, you pretty much guarantee goals. If he doesn't score now, West Ham fans, you can't blame me. Worse.
Hang on a minute, I can't blame anyone. They got Carlton Cole.
Yeah, worse was even Newcastle not getting a striker in.
Yeah.
Because they really needed one. Well, it's going to be Drift to Celtic for me.
As worst signing.
Yeah. To Celtic?
To Rangers.
He might as well have gone to Celtic.
Yeah.
To be honest, I know no one likes El Hadji Drift, and for very good reason. I actually think he'd be a good signing for Rangers.
Oh, yeah, I think
he's he was their best player in the Old Firm derby.
And he will thrive in that sort of atmosphere. Because he loves it.
Same as Franny Jeffers, who signed for... who did he sign for this morning?
Motherwell. He's trending on Twitter at the moment. But,
who did he sign for?
Motherwell.
Yeah, she's doing all right, thanks. All right.
By the way, happy 30th birthday to Francis Jeffers.
What did you say to my mum for me?
I don't know if anyone saw the Liverpool Echo this week. Anybody? No. Franny Jeffers' parents put a classified ad in there wishing him a happy birthday. Happy 30th birthday, lots of love from mum and dad.
What's the bit in Jeffers missed it?
That's good. Dad, you remember that one. Sure. Better than your mother, well.
Okay. Can we stop now? It's not going to get any better.
Sorry, best and worst.
I've got a list, but I said one. So I think the best signing is Matty Frye. Matty Frye went from Leicester to Hull City for 1.2 million.
He's already, isn't he?
He's quality. He's very, very good at that level. And Hull are ripping up the league as well. They're doing really well. They're moving up the table. They'll be in the playoffs at the end of the season with him playing. So
is that a quote?
That, you can quote me on that. They'll be in the playoffs.
What? And you will run naked through the streets of Hull if they go?
No.
Pardon, what are you saying?
The people of Hull start signing petitions to prevent that from happening.
Don't worry about it.
So it's all right. Yeah. Worst signing. Crikey! It's really difficult to find a worse signing. Really. I mean, Andy Carroll, 35 million, isn't worth it. I think he will be a good signing. I wonder if Fernando Torres might be a bad signing, because he might just destabilise the way Chelsea play.
People are saying that.
They played three out front on Sunday and they were useless.
Yeah, but after one game, everyone's saying, Liverpool have done really well and Chelsea shouldn't have brought it. It's one game.
I know, but you've got if you play Torres and Drogba, then I think you'd be okay. But if you play Torres, Drogba, and one other, and they're I think one of them has to sit out.
I think for worst signing and probably best signing.
£50 million for a guy who. He's basically grumpy and he'll chuck a sulk at some point.
Yeah. He's this Stuart Hall.
Yeah.
Stu must be. He's the podcast Fernando Torres.
Worst line is going to be a long running thing, isn't it? At the end of the season, you can look back on the transfer window. In fact, we should do it. Noted down, Si.
Won't be ready.
Well, I've got something planned for that later on.
Hold up, Dan.
I don't have a best signing because I don't think anything was.
Because Arsenal don't sign anything.
No, I can be objective. No one. I don't think anyone did amazing business. I think everyone did okay.
I think Villa did, right?
Yeah, Villa did maybe the best. But worst signing, I'm actually going to go with Torres, but I said it at the time. Chelsea just started to get back into their groove, scoring goals. And the Torres signing changes the formation of how they play. I think it's going to take a few weeks. And they could get to United games at the end of the season and be in real, real problems. So.
I would like to know the odds on Torres moving on again in the summer.
6-1.
I don't think it's.
Is that what you're offering?
It says Jim the bookie.
Well, you can do that. You're doing a little bet for it.
I don't think that's too unlikely, because if he has a bad half of the season, still sulky.
I had the same question as I had when initially the rumours came out. Who's going to buy him?
Barca.
They don't have the money.
You mentioned there who's done the best out of the transfer window, who's done the worst. That's the next question.
That is the next question. So, just one club name.
Best or worst?
Who did best? I'm sorry, Mike, you haven't even done trampled all over Cox in there. Go on,
well,
sorry, Mike.
What's new? My best signing at the transfer was Curtis Davis to Birmingham.
Yeah,
he's a decent defender. He fell out of favour a little bit. It wasn't long ago he was in the England squad.
Yeah.
I think he could do a good job, especially given
stop shaking your head, Ferdinand.
Ferdinand's not.
Oh,
not
mate, it's like saying Matt Upson's a good central defender.
But
come on.
Given that,
he's better than Scrilacci.
Got a good head on him.
Given that Roger Johnson is it that's out for the season, or Scott Dan?
Scott Dan's out
for the season. Fills the gap there, and I think Birmingham, they're a decent side.
That is all he does.
They draw too much, but
cool.
Worth signing, I've gone for Stéphane Cessignon, the Benin striker, who has signed for Sunderland.
Really?
For Paris Saint-Germain.
I've heard a lot of good things about him.
He's replacing Darren Bent. He played 14 games for Paris Saint-Germain this season, didn't score once.
No service.
He has never scored more than 10 goals in a season.
How much did they pay?
He's renowned for being sulky. I think it was about $6 million.
He's more of a winger, I thought.
He's more of a winger, but they signed the striker.
He played on the wing.
He's a sulky bugger. Yeah. I don't think he's going to do anything there.
Alright, quick. One word answers now, in terms of the teams, or two words.
Go on, I'll start off. Best new transfer in the Blackpool. Signed Andy Reid, James Beattie, kept Charlie Adam.
Yeah.
Jason Puncher's a good. Yeah,
he's on my.
Jason Puncher's a good sign, and a guy from Zenit, I don't know, but I think they did really well, and it was all last minute deals as well.
Yeah.
I think they could well keep him up. Worst, I didn't. The question didn't say worst on the crib sheet you sent us, so I haven't gone for worst, I've got to be honest.
Just making stuff up as he goes along.
Who did best in the transfer window? Arsenal?
Didn't
lose anyone.
Really, let's not get into the Arsenal debate. Thank you very much.
You signed some kid from a high school in Tokyo then, didn't you?
We'll always pick
what's
something.
What's her
name? Anyway, I'm going to go with Aston Villa.
I agree with that. Liverpool are come a close second, I think.
Especially when they
offload Torres and Babel and got in Suarez and Carroll for the same amount of money.
And it rhymes.
Yeah, so it's very good. So I'd say Liverpool was up there. I think they're better off now with Suarez and Carroll than they were with Torres and Babel.
Quickly though, doesn't Bentley look a bit of a snip now with those Carroll going for
18
that much? Carroll going for that much, because everyone's like, oh.
They also signed Jean Macoun as well, centre midfield player, very very good player.
Michael Bradley
he can play a bit as well. He's on loan from Mönchengladbach.
Coxon, I'm going to be an idiot and go for football because it was an exciting transfer window.
For the first time in a while as well.
It is sort of. Regained a bit of interest for football. It was ridiculous.
Best in the transfer window, football.
You think about it. Look,
you soppy, soppy normal.
When else have you had that get on?
Football did really well.
Oh, sorry, but I was going to say Gillingham, but nobody cares.
We didn't sign anyone either.
Touché. Quite happy with that.
And we'll finish with the man who more than anyone, spent his hours watching the transfer window. Stu, who did best in the transfer window?
Villa.
Thank you very much. Right, that wraps up the questions this week. Anything else we spotted this weekend, Jim?
No. No, there is. Dimitri getting sacked by West Brom. Newcastle fans leaving at 4-0, which announced on Match of the Day. Can you blame
them? Trying to get back in at 4-3.
Some of them left at 2-0 as well.
But Pardew deserves some credit for that team talk.
Yeah.
The other thing is, because it was such an action-packed Premiership weekend, there's a lot of things that have been lost. Wolves beating Man United. Yeah. If that was any other weekend, that's all we've been talking about. That's all we've been talking about since the start of the show. Sahar's nice hair, I've mentioned already. The other thing on Match of the Day as well, they mentioned that Faustino Espria has set up a club called Club Atletico Faustino Espria.
Yeah.
So I want to see a podcast sponsored game, FC Calon versus Club Atletico Faustino Espria. I want to go. Nice.
Listen, anything else? Anyone retired or anything like that?
Not that I've noticed. No. I could go on for a long time about Gary Neville, as I have for the last 26 weeks.
Before you start, I'm quite glad he's in our podcast team. Now, as a homage, it was his final act.
Apparently, he thought there was nowhere else to go in his career. We've got the podcast team. What else do you need to achieve?
I have nothing else left to achieve.
I can see him. He goes into Alex Ferguson's. Alex, I know you wanted to pick me for another away game when I play terribly, but I've been nominated in the podcast 11. I think I should just call it quits here. Yeah. Then he just got.
Well, as long as now, if that's the way it goes, if we can just start nominating Carlos Tevez, if he can get it. Stephen Gerrard.
Other players you couldn't think of.
Cool. Wayne Routledge. So.
There you go.
Good. Podcast.
Yes.
11.
Podcast 11. We have results for our centre backs now. Franco Baresi controversially won the legend position over Bobby Moore.
Terrific.
But it's a vote, you know.
Right. Who was Franco Baresi?
Who was he?
Well, he was some Italian bloke.
No, who picked him? You've picked him.
But that's not important right now.
When are we going to learn that democracy doesn't work?
No. Well,
tell that to Egypt.
Topical humour from Staples.
Thank you.
Centre back results.
Thank you.
Beef burger, extra what? Carbs. Carbs.
Yeah, it was going to be naked, but not anymore.
Apparently, they said he had to be clothed when he was eating it, so. Right, Pubcast 11, centre backs.
Hang on, that burger does look quite good, though.
It's nice, isn't it?
Why don't we ever get food? It's always Danny Dan that gets food.
I know. In fifth place, he says, desperately clinging onto the show, with 5.56%. is Jamie Carragher.
Oh,
he had an absolute worldie.
He was excellent
on Sunday.
Man of the match.
He was quality. Yeah,
first good game in about 4 years. Yeah,
right, now for the first time we have a three-way tie for second.
No.
Oh, hello.
Three-way tie for second.
What are the odds of three players getting the same four-figure number?
16 to 1.
16 to 1. Yeah. All right.
Right, the three players who were tied for second were Rio Ferdinand.
Who?
Fabio Cannavaro and Lucio.
Yes!
Oh, not done it.
Which means that Carlos Puyol.
Yes!
Who picked him again?
Me.
Well done, Jim. Thank you.
Carlos Puyol is now in our Pubcast 11. Congratulations.
Stuart Hoare 11.
It is becoming a Stuart Hoare 11, yeah.
That is one good looking defence.
It is. Baresi, Puyol, Pierce, Neville. Oh, that's scary.
Casillas just behind them.
Yeah,
and Cassius's girlfriend
we'll
just behind the girl.
We'll move on to midfielders next week. We'll move on to midfielders this week. Why not?
Hey.
Left wing. We're going to do left wing or wide left midfield. We're talking about here. Shall I kick off, lads?
Go on, kick off.
Yeah, okay, because I'm going to name a player who none of you would have seen play live.
That's a fact.
Because he was born on New Year's Day in 1946.
I would never have even heard of
him. His name is Roberto Rivellino, and for me, he's the greatest left winger I've ever seen in my life. When I was a kid, I got bought a video called The Boys from Brazil. It was a BBC history of the Brazilian national team.
We know what we're all thinking now. Boys from Brazil. You just go and watch that on your own.
I left the door open, didn't I?
Just a load of little tanned, oiled men playing volleyball on the beach in Rio.
And then
playing with the boys. It's the theme tune from Top Gun when they start playing now. Carry on, son.
Anyway, it is a very good video, and you should buy this one as well, which is the BBC history of the Brazilian national team. And the stuff that he used to do would just make your jaw drop. He invented the flip flap. Do you remember the flip flap where, like, Ronaldo does it? Where
the cat flap.
The cat flap, yeah. The flip flap where you flick it one side of the foot and flick it the other
side. If he invented the cat flap, he'd be straight.
He'd probably be richer. He won the World Cup in 1970. He came in fourth place in 1974, third place in 1978. He's played three World Cups with Brazil. Famous for his big bandito moustache that he had. Looks a little bit like Mario.
Good.
And so bonus points for that.
Is he the player that Garrincha took over from?
No, Garrincha was before him.
Okay.
But his free kicks, he's the best free kick taker I've ever seen. Forget him. Roberto Carlos, forget him. This is the best Brazilian free kick taker ever.
Who did he play for club-wise?
He played for...
Staying in Brazil.
Fluminense and a couple of other teams. And he also played in Saudi Arabia towards the end of his career.
Oh.
He was known in Brazil as Patada Atomica, which means the atomic kick. There's a team in Fulham named after him called Rivellino FC, and they wear the yellow and blue Brazil kit.
Nice.
I won't hit you with a barrage of stats or anything like that, but just look him up on YouTube. My blog is going to be a little bit of info about him and a YouTube clip, because nothing I can write will actually
it's
take
not really a blog then, is it?
It's not, it's laziness. I'm going to put that in anyway. Two of the best free kicks you'll ever see in the World Cup. One in 1970 against Czechoslovakia, 8-man wall, bent it round it at about 100 miles an hour. Great goal.
They're prepared to stop that then with eight man wall,
and he beat the 8-man wall and the goalkeeper and nearly broke the goalkeeper's fingers as well. And in the 74 World Cup, they played East Germany, and they had East Germans had a 6 or 7 man wall. Jairzinho, the centre forward, stood in the middle of the wall, and all he did as he went up to hit it, Jairzinho literally just fell to one side, and it was a one person gap, and he smacked it straight through the gap again at probably something approaching 100 miles an hour. Straight into the bottom corner of the net. Unbelievable accuracy from free kick. Probably my favourite left-sided player of all time, Roberto Rivellino. He's my pick.
Nice.
Michael Coxon, who have you gone for?
My pick was voted the second greatest player for Olympique Marseille behind Jean-Pierre Papin, and that is ahead of Fabien Barthez, Laurent Blanc, Alain Boxic, D. Didier Deschamps, Marcel Desailly, Enzo Francescoli, Abedi Pelé, Jean Tigenard, Rudy Voller, Eric Cantona, Anthony Cascarino.
Cas was a legend, though.
Oh, 62 caps at international level, 6 goals. Won the Football Writers Player of the Year during the Premier League era, as well as 3 French titles. He was the only English player in Thierry Henry's all-time 11.
Yeah.
My player is Chris the Mullet Waddle.
Oh, no!
And when I do my blog, I'm going to have a video in there of Waddle and Hoddle Diamond Lights.
Yes, and that is if ever number 12 to not vote for
number 12 in the charts. In fact,
did he get that higher?
Got some. He also released a single with Basil Boley called "We've Got a Feeling." I'm not sure, but I think the Black Eyed Peas might have ripped that off later. if you listen carefully, that was the sound of his penalty just landing from Italia 90, but let's forget that.
It's still going along with Van Persie's.
Yeah, and they're all going to meet. He's known as Magic Chris in France because they rate him so highly. He was quick.
I thought it was going to be a really good nickname. It's not, is it? Magic Chris. Yeah.
That's what you get when you speak in pidgin English. Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant player. Legend.
He only speaks pidgin English.
Well, he does say penalty instead of penalty.
I can do good pidgin English.
He's here all week, try the veal. Legend at Spurs, legend at Newcastle, legend at Sheffield Wednesday as well. A truly underrated player, skillful, quick, now can be heard on your airwaves talking gibberish. But no, Chris Waddle, largely because I wasn't allowed to nominate someone from my own club, but still a legend.
Yeah. It's a great selection. Good selection. I agree wholeheartedly. That is
horrific.
Massively underrated player. Massively underrated.
That's the two ends of the scale. I agree wholeheartedly. Horrific. From down in the corner as well. Stuart?
Mid-burger. Go on, Stu.
Right. I've gone for the only player to have won a Champions League with 3 different clubs, which is a record that he still holds. Clarence Seedorf.
He's a central midfielder.
Is he tits?
He's never played on level. He's right footed.
Fuck off. You're ruining this for everyone.
Go on, Shane.
Seedorf. Started life at Ajax, making his debut at 16.
God, sorry, Stu. Go on.
Do you know what? I'm going to put it in the blog. Clarence Seedorf.
Yeah, fair enough.
Got Jim, who's that you've nominated? Peter Shilton.
All right, I've gone for Hadji. Not Mustafa Hadji of Coventry fame, or Yusuf Chippo of Coventry fame. Georgie Hadji.
Brilliant.
Absolutely legend of a player. Could play all across the attacking midfield. 125 games for Romania, 35 goals, which is a record for Romania.
Can we just call an ambulance for Dan?
It's alright. It'd be alright.
He's choking on his
phone. If you don't stop laughing, I'm going to eat the rest of his chips. Bit of decorum, please.
Yeah, sorry.
Played for Madrid, Brescia, Barcelona, Galatasaray. The reason I'm nominating him is solely for one goal he scored.
Argentina, 1994.
It was against Colombia, mate. Get your facts right.
Oh.
40-yard chip. It was.
Yeah, but you're exactly right. Because for me, I only knew it was against Colombia when I looked it up and found out who was against. 94, I was only about 10-11. I just remember that goal and Georgie Hadji, and he was brilliant for about. He was good at 98 as well, France 98. He was just a great player.
Great celebrations as well.
Yeah, exactly. Just brilliant, brilliant. It was him and Stoichkov who I used to get confused as a youngster.
They were both amazing pieces of work.
I've just thought of my nomination for our striker.
There you go. But amazing, amazing players. He's now Galatasaray manager as well. Once again, I've got the stats to back up, and I'll put that on the blog. So excellent. My nomination, Georgie Hadji.
Good, good pick.
Dan.
Well, I've got the winner.
All right, we'll move on, shall we? Who is it? Yeah.
No, that's not even your point. I've got the winner.
Who you got?
Well, I've got the Welsh wizard, Ryan Giggs. I'm not going to do the stats, but it needs to be reiterated. More club medals than, I mean, only mainly Maldini comes close to him.
Maldini didn't even win his money.
He didn't. And anyone that can play for Man United as many times as he played for them, in the current era, still be one of their best players right today. There is just no one else. And everyone honestly believes he should have played for England. He could never play for England. No. It was only a schoolboy's thing.
He could play for Sierra Leone, though.
Could he play for Spain?
His dad's black.
Is he?
Little known fact, yeah. And also a rugby league player. No, real dad.
Oh, right.
He's mixed race.
Because I watched him, one of the first games I ever saw.
He's so hairy. If you shaved him, he might have a little colour to him anyway. You wouldn't even know, would you?
But one of the first games I ever saw at Wembley was an England schoolboy game. And Ryan Wilson, as he was then, he was playing centre half for England that day.
Bloody hell.
along with Nicky Barmby. I think Chris Day might have been the goalkeeper.
Nicky Barmby was in the centre half.
No, Nicky Barmby was in the team.
Chris Day was the keeper.
Chris Day might have been the goalkeeper. I've got the programme at home. I'll see if I can dig it.
He's a good header of the ball, man. He was quite sort of tall, lanky
yeah. sort of guy at the back. And he was number six. He played centre half.
So let's not forget, even though it's my most hated goal of all time, it's still the best FA Cup goal of all time.
Stu's going like, well, I don't know what they're talking about.
Friend of the show, Jill Coxon, aka my mum, still whoops whenever she sees Ryan Giggs take his shirt off after that goal when it's on the telly.
And she still buys corn burgers as well for the same
She
reason.
Does.
Does she whoop at Planet of the Apes as well?
No, not quite. But she does shout, "That's my boy," when she hears me on this show. So hello, mum.
Excellent. Okay, time for Who Are You? Jim.
Okay, born in Colombia in 1969, so he's now 41.
Yeah.
Bit of an enigma, but one of my favourite players.
Have you mentioned him already?
Faustino Espria.
Oh, legend.
Yes.
It's usually things that trigger it. So when I heard his name and saw him on match today, I was like, right, I'm going to do a little profile on him.
Yeah.
Ruined Newcastle.
Yeah, he did ruin Newcastle that season.
A brilliant goal against Liverpool in the famous 4-3
Yes. Chip. Was it Chip?
Love the keeper.
Yeah, I remember that. Known as the Octopus in his home country by fans.
Really?
For his vivacious appetite, apparently.
And also his ability to predict World Cup games.
Excuse me. Played for, club-wise, played for Cucaca Deportivo, where he started
his career. Oh, I love them.
Atlético Nacional, Parma, Newcastle, obviously. Then he went back to Parma, Palmeiras, Fluminense, Atlanta, Atlético Nacional, back to them. Some team, something about Chile. Darlington. Oh, no, actually, no. He didn't play for Darlington, did he?
He appeared on the pitch.
In 2008, he was arrested for firing a machine gun at security forces near his farm.
And he was, land.
But do you know what? He fired a machine gun. They just put him under house arrest for about a week.
He would have fit in well good in Darlington.
Yeah. This is a good stat, which I didn't know. 1996, he was voted the sixth best player in the world by FIFA. Not of all time, obviously.
Was he at Palmer then?
1996.
Well, no, he's at Newcastle, mate.
He was at Newcastle, is he?
Yeah, it was just as he signed for Newcastle. Yeah. They signed him, and about a week later, the vote went out.
To be fair, though, John Beresford was fourth.
Do you know what he does now?
I'd like to know.
No one knows.
No one.
No one actually knows.
Well, he pitched up at St James's.
This is it. He went to the last Sunderland Newcastle derby. He was in the away end at Newcastle with a scarf on. Just turned up at in the
turf. Like it.
Yep.
Pay to get in. He just walked for the turf.
He goes to Newcastle like Newcastle game like once, twice a month. And whenever he's there, like the match of the day comes, will pick him out, or the Newcastle Chronicle, or whatever, pick him out. This season he's been guest of honour when they played Spurs, so no one really knows where he's living, if he just comes over for the games or what he's doing.
Or no fixed abode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, but he's got his own club.
Yeah, exactly, as I mentioned. As
and he's got a farm.
Club Atletico Faustino Espria.
My
favourite
memory of Tino Espria is when he just joined Newcastle. He, in a game against Man City, he headbutted Keith Curl. He didn't get sent off.
What?
My memory of that is because my Uncle Alan is the dark sheep family, he's a City fan. He was sat right behind laughing his head off as Tino Espria belted him.
Put the nut
on
him.
Forehead. On match of the day. Brilliant.
So that's for Tino Espria. I'm going to update you if I can find out what he's definitely doing.
Oh, definitely. I'd like an update on
that. I'll find out and we'll do like a little Espria's feature. But for this week, that was my Who Are You?
I think we could have a new feature. Where's Tino?
Where's Tino?
Where's Tino?
We could get him to dress up like Where's Wally. Yeah. That's a Newcastle game. We'll definitely see him.
Okay, Stu, have you actually done anything on Football Manager?
I have indeed, mate.
Give us a very couple quick of games. Update. How's it gone?
Bradford away was the next game up.
Oh.
Obviously, tough trip at Bradford away. James Harris, a new signing, formerly of Swansea, brought into the squad.
Permanent signing or loan signing?
Permanent.
Okay.
He's on a free. Brought in a place of Mark Richards because he didn't score in the last game, so I thought we'd chop him.
Yeah.
So that was the only change from the last fixture. 0-0 at half-time, really nothing to talk about, to be honest. And then I brought Mark Richards on at half-time after giving the team an absolute stinging.
Why didn't you not start
hairdryer treatment?
Because I brought a new striker and he didn't do anything the game before, did he? So I thought I'd teach him a lesson.
It's not man management, Stu. Drop him after one bad game.
He's happy. Listen, alright?
Yeah, what did he do?
So I went to 4-4-2. Obviously, I've been playing three in the middle. But bringing him on, I had to go to 4-4-2. And to be honest, actually, nothing really happened until the 63rd minute. Mark Richards threw on goal and he was absolutely levered by their defender in the penalty box.
You don't want to see that.
Exactly. So obviously leaving it, Chris James converted 1-0.
He was dressed up in leather. Go on.
He was.
Deeper.
Oh, you've introduced a new kit as well, Steve?
Yes, I've introduced a new kit.
All about AKA the Gimps.
And then, yeah, so 1-0, 63rd minute, and then a quick second followed from Richards, brought him on for the second half.
There you go, paying your back.
Exactly, so I reckon
did
I'll keep
give
him
it
on.
A big one to the bench when he scored?
I don't really know, but he absolutely
trolled it.
It was from the left back, he's route one, he's gone over the top of everything, and he's corny finish from 10 yards.
I've got a question to Stu, the manager.
Go on, James.
Are you taking your own press conferences, or are you sending your assistant?
Yeah, no, taking my own.
Yeah, I never trusted you send your assistant on football manager.
It always comes up that he said something absolutely ridiculous, like
maybe
we're going to win the league or something.
Maybe in a future instalment of this, we'll hold a press conference.
Yeah.
Yes.
We
a
will
live
be,
press
we will be the amassed press, and we will grill you, Mr. Hoare, on the performance or otherwise of your team in a week continuing.
Very good. Obviously, well, it finished 2-0, and we're now fifth in the league with Bury up next in the Johnson's Paint Trophy.
Good work.
Good stuff. Right, we'll take a look at two more of our adopted teams and a return.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
Well, as you may have noticed, Simon Pitney's not been about for a while. He's actually been tracking the Andes with Andy Peters,
Andy Gray,
and
Andy Flower.
Andy Flower. They were going to go along with.
As we were saying that, Andy Lucia.
As we were saying that,
somewhere else now.
We were obviously naming Andy. Dan just said Richard Keys. He didn't understand what we were.
They were going to go along with Bob Sparkplug Holly, but his name's not Andy, so he wasn't allowed to go. But no, we've actually had an email this week from his, well, fan of his adopted
club. The fans have spoken, literally.
Osijek, from Croatia, you may remember, who are a bit worried about the lack of coverage, so I'm going to go into them a bit. They've had a bit of a clean-up of their roster for the spring season, their words, not mine. It's now at 25 as opposed to 34. This may mean as much to you as it does to me. Three players have been sold. Two players have been brought in. They're currently training in Antalya in Turkey, home of Antalya Spor, and they've played a few friendlies during the pre-season break. They lost to Victoria Brănești, which I believe is their local pronunciation, from Romania, 2-0. They then drew with Târgu Mureș, also of Romania, 2-2, and Dinamo Tbilisi, big club from Georgia, 2-2.
This is the next one, is the one I'm interested in.
Very interested.
They then beat Cracovia Krakow.
Me and Stuart have seen Cracovia Krakow play at home.
You are the Medway fan club for Cracovia Krakow.
It's Krakow.
Krakow. Krakow. Oh, sorry. So, spring season starts 25th of February. Also happens to be my girlfriend's birthday. They're away at Lokomotiva.
That's
who
a hard
are 13th
game.
In the league. It is. It's tough. Nobody likes to go to Lokomotiva. Then they've
the fans are so close to the pitch.
Then they've got.
And they all smell of cheese.
Oh, I'm waving now. That's what they call it, the Edam town of Croatia.
Actually, I've just remembered, their fans are mental. All the fans are there mental. They don't smell of cheese. They're very.
They're
nice
really
people.
Nice. Yeah, they're lovely.
Some of the best fans in the world. So yeah.
Actually, no, I'm not even going to say that. They don't like to be nice. They're bloody nasty bastards, but they're very good supporters.
It's Carlsberg made fans.
Yeah.
They've then got two home matches against Istra, who are 15th. And let's say Chester City, 16th in the league.
Basically, it's Croatia.
Oh, sorry. Okay, Croatia Draga Vlahovic.
That'll do.
They were 16th in the league. Look them up on Wikipedia if you're not sure.
Yeah, we won't explain that.
They want 7 points from these three games. The fans say.
Their fans are demanding. I remember fans were like.
They're currently.
They end them all in, didn't they? Do you remember?
Yeah.
They're currently 11th in the league on 22 points, and bear in mind it's only a 16 team league.
Yeah.
But it's they're tight, still hopeful of getting into the UEFA Cup because it's 30 points.
Wishful thinking.
It's currently the UEFA Cup places. So good luck to them.
Absolutely.
It's nice to hear them. We always appreciate it. We appreciate their continued following of our show. We will continue to follow Osijek even while Simon Pitney's in Chile.
Good luck to Osijek and the game's coming up. We'll see how we get on with those. They're after 7 points out of nine.
Yeah, we'll keep track of that.
We'll find out how they get on. Yeah. Good
cool.
stuff.
Stu.
Lost 2-0 at the weekend.
Oh.
It was Ajax.
Oh, away or home?
Away.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
6 points clear relegation though in 12th. So, and next up is Groningen. So we'll see how it goes.
Groningen at home.
This is the Graf family that we're talking about, of course. The Graf Shack.
The Super Farmers.
The Super Farmers, chosen because they wear.
Tino Asprey should play for it.
Okay, we'll kick on to follow our weekly sort of look at Twitter, and I'll sort of nominate someone to follow. This one's quite close to home and a little bit incestuous, so you have to forgive me.
Mirror
Football. No, someone misses. She's not on Twitter. Mirror Football, who many of us around this table have got some sort of involvement with. Really good football website. Good mix of news, updates, football opinion, and humour. Good columnist John Cross, good on Arsenal. Dan, you can attest to that.
Yeah, John Cross is good.
Simon Bird,
Arsenal, but he's good.
Yeah, Simon Bird, very good in the North East. Brian Reid in Liverpool. Got the likes of Mark Lawrenson, Robbie Savage, Terry Butcher, all right for us. Great blogs as well. Derek McGovern, champion tipster, writes betting tips. Always worth looking out for them. And Steve Anglesey does the Football Banter blog. Lots of good YouTube videos and stuff like that.
I don't like their new columnist.
No? You're not a fan?
No.
That'd be me then,
wouldn't it? Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, I'd make sure I don't go there.
Every Tuesday, yeah. I say every Tuesday.
Nobody's going to go on a Tuesday. No one will go on a Tuesday because they're too busy waiting for the podcast to come out.
I'm looking forward to the next item on the podcast script sheet.
Yes.
I really am.
So anyway, follow at Mirror Football. The next one is a special, some say extended edition.
Yes. We need some background on this. We're in the
pub ammo.
Basically, we're in Wetherspoons, and I don't know. I think it was probably my idea. Actually, it's quite a good idea. I'll take it. We looked at the menu and realised there's a lot of different beers in your average Wetherspoons. So we're doing a beer World Cup next Friday.
It was on Twitter. It was my idea. It was on Twitter, wasn't it?
No, I'm the one doing this segment. It was my idea.
I'm Spartacus.
I wasn't there. I actually phoned in. It was my idea.
Everyone's up for this then, I think it's pretty fair. So,
yeah.
Mike,
so basically,
over to you,
let's
mate.
Explain what we're doing.
Yeah.
Basically, we're going to do a World Cup competing beers from around the world against each other while talking about football facts about
their nations. How many beers have we got? 16?
We've got 16 beers and ciders.
So that's a minimum 16 pints from everyone around this table next Friday the 18th, and we're going to record it.
And we're going to record the kebab shop after as well.
We're also going to record
the kebab cast.
We're also going to play Match of the Day on the Hitbox and record that, see how much money we lose. I've got the draw here separated into seeds and non-seeds. I'm going to ask Simon Head to draw the non-seeds.
Okay.
And who wants to draw the seeds?
Yes.
Stuart Hoare. So if we could start, Jim Staples has got his pen out, he's going to note it down. Let's go with a non-seed first.
Okay.
Yeah, good atmosphere created by side. They just rustled the envelope. Turkey,
home of Efes and Hakansuka.
I love the Efes.
It's cheap. Oh, you know the name
cheap
of the
we'll play. Share,
number four,
Australia, home of Foster's and a lot of superior beers it's that they drink. They drink in Australia, as well as Tony Popovich.
South Africa,
Quinton Fortune Castle. And Savannah.
The SA will play
Savannah side.
England,
home of Nuki Brown and Ian
Chips.
Holloway.
Poland,
home of Emmanuel Elisa Deby and Siski.
Don't know if that's allowed.
Germany,
home of Elisa Deby.
That's my vote, Germany.
Germany.
Right. It's not a vote, then. We're going to
wait. No, I'm predicting. That's my prediction.
All right. Octopus okay. Over here.
Italy.
I hope that's Peroni.
It could be Peroni, it could be Birra Moretti.
No, that should be Birra Moretti.
It could also be Andrea Salenti.
We'll play Holland.
Holland, yes.
Home of
Amstel and Brian Roy.
Brian Roy.
Sweden,
home of
you really don't need to do
Nicholas Alexanderson and Koppenberg.
Potatoes.
Ireland.
That's the funniest thing Stuart has ever done.
No,
said.
It's the second funniest thing.
Ireland, home of potatoes and numerous Scouse players of the 90s.
Mexico.
Corona. Desperados, not really.
Yes. You're flirting between celebrities, football players,
and
bees. Belgium.
They're my
Belgium.
Favourites for the title.
Yes. Gilles de Bilder.
And Waffles.
And Stella Artois.
And Leffy.
Leffy.
Danmark.
Home of Special Brew.
We'll
which
play.
Dan Ferdinand drinks in the gloves he's wearing.
Czech Republic.
Czech Republic. Karol Poborski.
And final time. La France.
France. We'll lose to USA. Alexi Lalas and Budweiser.
That concludes the draw.
That is. So, 18th, we're going to be recording. If anyone wants to come down to the Ledger building in Canary Wharf and listen to the recording,
let's call it what it is. It's we're going there because it's the cheapest place in Canary Wharf.
It's a Lloyd's bar.
It's the one place you can get a pint Lloyd's for less bar than one. 4 quid.
But yes, come down, have a listen, give us any questions, meet the podcasters, and we'll all have a good drink and a World Cup. Good
excellent.
Work.
Right, we'll move on to Hugo Ehiods. Jim, over to you, mate.
Are we going to go through last week first of all, Stuart?
Can we, please?
Yeah. What's wrong, lads?
Hands up if you got your prediction right. Put your
hands
hand
don't
up.
Work on a podcast. How many times, Simon?
My hand's still up.
Sorry, can I just say, because I actually got everyone's pick and I placed the bet. And when Stuart told me Swansea, I said to him, would you like to check that again and think about it? And he said, okay. Went back to him 2 hours later. What is it? Swansea? Are you sure, mate? Because they're playing Cardiff.
Don't bet on a derby.
Cardiff play really badly. I said, okay, mate, if that's what you want.
See,
that's what I wanted.
They weren't even close.
So for about the, we got two wrong the week before, we got one wrong this week. We're always one result down. It's usually Mike or Stu.
And I got it right this week.
Well done.
But karma went against me because I tried to outside it by having it. So if Man City lost, I don't care.
Right.
But all that karma did was make Man United lose. So
this week, Stu Hall, who are you going for?
Current form, I'm going to go for Port Vale to beat Northampton.
This is real life, not your game.
Oh, shit. Port Vale.
All right.
Funnily enough, I very nearly picked Northampton to beat Port Vale. True story.
Oh, anyway, who's going to play him in the film?
Anyway.
Port Vale, Stuart Hoare. Mike.
Everton to beat Bolton.
Okay.
Ooh.
Simon.
Risky.
Bury to beat Stockport away from home.
Oh, don't bet on a derby.
Oh, let's pick Stockport.
Dan, have you had a look yet?
I haven't had a look yet.
Have a look, get back to us, let me know. Yeah. I'm going for Notts County to beat Exeter at home.
Yeah.
Couple of reasons. Exeter lost 4-1 at home to Huddersfield, then they got dipped by Brentford last night.
Yeah, they've been knackered.
Notts County were 1-0 up and the game got abandoned after 53 minutes.
Waterloo pitch.
Yeah. So they're gonna be well up for getting that result. So I'm going Notts County.
Cool.
So we'll get it tweeted out as well, we'll put it on. Yeah. We'll have it over to you on Friday, I would have thought.
Excellent. Right, come down with me, Mr. Ferdinand.
Football chairman.
Who are you not?
Just in general,
who are you not inviting to dinner?
Honestly, it's no, it's not. It's I can't remember his name, but it's the West Brom chairman.
Jeremy Pearce.
It's the West Brom chairman. I'm actually going to also put in there the Blackburn chair lady. Is it that woman?
The chicken lady.
Yeah, and then also quite clearly Mike Ashley. None of those are going to come in. They've all lost their minds.
To be honest, I definitely agree with what you're doing here as well. I was having a conversation with my mate last night. There's not many managerial sackings or that are actually justified this season.
Brentford, Andy Scott.
About the only one you can actually look at and see, right, they did have to do that, was the Liverpool one with Hodgson, because it was going nowhere.
And obviously what's happened since has justified that.
Yeah,
as well,
and apart from that, there's not an awful lot, like Sheffield Wednesday went the other day. Yeah. There's been cases where teams are in like the top six. Hardrew, some from Southampton, there's been so many like that this season.
I don't know what's happened. They've all lost their mind.
Yeah. Bobby Di Matteo, I think, considers himself very unlucky.
Yeah. If you're Sheffield Wednesday, though, the last thing you want to do when you sack your manager is hire Gary Megson.
Although that is probably the only club I can think of in the country that might actually sort of embrace having him there, because
yeah.
He was a bit of a legend there as a player. He was well thought of up there, so you know that might be the right fit. I mean, Megson, thinking back a few years, he did a decent job at West Brom, got him into the Prem. He did a decent job. I think he's a good championship level manager. So we'll see how he gets on at Sheffield Wed, because they're struggling at the moment.
Both Sheffield teams are struggling. Sheffield United are on an awful run.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday not struggling that bad.
They
expected to win the division. But.
Yeah.
And very quickly, I know it's a side note. I should have mentioned this at the start. Plymouth Argyle, Kidderminster Harriers, both clubs in serious financial trouble at the moment.
Yeah.
Would you like me to put my hand in your pocket?
Sorry?
Would you like me to put my hand in my pocket?
If you want to.
That could be a new feature. Dan buys a club.
There you go. Dan becomes chairman.
No, it was just
Dan
was,
buys
was,
a drink could be nice for a fucking start. I'll tell you that
much. But yeah, so it's you know, just to sort of make it aware, you know, both those clubs are struggling at the minute, and hopefully both of them will come out the other side and be okay.
Absolutely.
Right, we'll move on to Jim with class and arse.
Okay, arse, Premiership defenders. Everyone's going on about all the goals. Premiership defenders in general need a bit of a kick up.
It was pretty horrific.
There was some, says it all that the weekend Gary Neville retires, the defenders go to pots.
The Wigan Blackburn game, I'll pick out. There was some awful defending that game.
Yeah.
But I'm actually going for the linesmen at the Newcastle game. For disallowing the second goal, Leon Bett's first would have been his first goal, second Newcastle goal, and then Van Persie's fifth in the last minute as well.
Someone wants to teach him the offside rule.
Yeah. This is it. Imagine if that was the woman linesman, you would not have heard the end of it. As it is, they've got away scot free. So the linesman at that game, class. Always going to be gay like Mike did, and just say the Premiership in general. English football in general. But I'm not. Louis Sahar.
Yeah.
Up until Saturday, he had scored a brace on 12 occasions in the Premiership and never got a hat trick.
Oh, was that the answer to the question?
That was the answer to the question, yeah.
Right.
And he got his first hat trick, in fact, scored four. Should have had five because he had one disallowed.
So hold on. So you asked that question and last week. And then hears about it and says, screw you, Jim.
Exactly. Absolutely.
This is how we do.
So Louis Hart is my class of the week.
Cool. Right, check out the website www.footballpodcast.co.uk. Email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. Tweet us. Dan is @DanFerdinand. Jim is @JimStaples. Mike is @MichaelCoxon. Stu is @Stu_TheManager. I'm @SimonHead, and the main one is @FootballPubcast.
Also, make sure on a Friday you check out our Spotify playlist.
Yes. Oh, it's amazing this week.
Yeah. It's up to 100 tracks. What we're doing, we've got an 80s playlist up there already, 100 tracks, and I can exclusively reveal we are now to 100 tracks for the 90s playlist.
I haven't even got involved yet.
Need to get involved. We might have to chop a change.
Are any of them Come On You Reds by Manchester United, number one in 1994?
Mr. Cut, mate, Mr. Cut.
Oh, you're joking.
Yeah, 90s playlist live this Friday. We'll tweet it out. Hopefully that'll help you get through your final day of the week.
Goodbye.
Can I just make one quick point, which maybe we'll talk about more next week?
No, goodbye.
I believe Vinnie Jones is trying to redo Escape to Victory and get Wayne Rooney involved. I think
Escape to City.
I think it's going to be a...
sorry, Mike.
Tevez.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Tevez got away. Okay, we'll finish up. Mike?
Walt Disney was afraid of mice.
See you later. Bye-bye.
See you next week.